So as Sister Lauren put on the screen, my scripture today is Matthew 6:33. And that is, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So here we are, we're closing out another year. Before you know it, we're going to be right into the next year. And hopefully you all have grown and are ending this year in a better place than where you were at the beginning of the year. But I've never really been a fan of New Year's resolutions. I've supported the mindset that each and every day I try to do something better. I want to be better tomorrow than I was today. And I don't think it's a good idea to just wait till a new year to try to do that. And they seem to always fizzle out. But I want you to consider this lesson as a challenge. If you want to think of it as a New Year's resolution, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But I want to challenge you with these thoughts as you go into the new year, and do your best to live by this principle that we're going to discuss tonight. So we predominantly want to talk about the first part of this verse tonight, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." And when I walked in tonight, I noticed on the wall in there, there's a little poster that says, "Seek God first and everything else falls into place," or something to that effect. And that's kind of what my lesson has to do with tonight. So the title of the lesson tonight is First Things First. How many of you ever heard this expression before? I'm sure pretty much everybody has, right? This expression is an idiom. What is an idiom? Well, you didn't know you were coming to English class, but I got to... An idiom is a phrase that, when taken as a whole, has a meaning you wouldn't be able to deduce from the meanings of the individual words. So the phrase, first things first, is used to say that one should do the things that are most important before doing the other things. In other words, we need to prioritize what is really important. Now, I'm sure most of you are acquainted with this saying. Maybe your parents have used it from time to time. "Now, Billy, I know you want to buy that souped-up sports car, but first you probably need to get a job, you need to get some money, and then you can buy something that you can afford, like maybe that Hot Wheels car." Or little Susie, "I know you want ice cream first, but before that, you've got to eat your carrots and your broccoli. Keep first things first." Or Johnny, I know you want to go outside and play mud ball with the boys, but you haven't done your homework all week, and your room is a disaster. Keep first things first." These are all great things to keep in mind. How many of you were in band or are in band? Now, when you walked in the first day, you were all super excited. Brother Trey here, he walked in, he thought he was going to have a tuba set right in his lap. He was so excited, he's ready to play tuba. He walked in, and the band teacher hands him one of these. And all of his dreams are crushed. He was thinking about dotting the I and the horseshoe, and he walks in and they gave him this thing. He didn't want this thing. So all of you who are in band, you probably had this experience. It's the same for all of us. You start with a recorder. First things first. Everybody had to start out on the recorder. Why? To start teaching you the basics, the fundamentals of music. Yeah. Well, I played the drums, so not only did I start out on the recorder, after I got done with the recorder, I got this thing. When I joined the band, I wanted to beat on drums and make a lot of noise. I didn't want to play with this, I didn't want to play a recorder. But I had to do the recorder, I had to do the xylophone, then I got to the drums. Why? First things first, there was a process. There's a process for you preparing to learn an instrument. You had to learn some basics first. I like to think I have a pretty cool job. For those of you who don't know, I design bridges. And there's a process that occurs when it comes to designing bridges, or just about anything, I guess. One of the first things that happens is you get the landscape surveyed. You figure out what's already there. You find out your utilities, maybe existing bridges, existing roads, all of that. They put it in a file, they send it to you, and then you have everything marked. You've got elevations, you know where everything is. Well, sometimes survey's behind or you're ahead, and you just want to get started so you're not just sitting there wasting company time. So you can get started. I sometimes have done this, get started before I have survey, but it's always annoying when you finally get survey because rest assured there's going to be things you have to go back and you got to change. You can only assume so much. So I like, when it comes to my job, to keep first things first. There are some simple examples. These that I just talked about are some simple examples in life of prioritizing things and working things in the proper order. However, our lesson tonight, the scripture that we brought forth, is talking about something far more important. It's talking about keeping the kingdom of God and his righteousness first in our lives. We must keep first things first. Can you say that with me? First things first. Say it again. First things first. All right, I want this to stick in your mind as we go into this coming year. I want it to be a theme for your coming year. So I wrote a short poem to go along with this lesson. From tiny cell to ocean border, God wants everything kept in perfect order, or kept in order. This includes our passion, lust, and thirst. He must be chief. Keep first things first. Place him supreme in heart and life before worldly charge and earthly strife. Too many have the order reversed. This results in chaos. Keep first things first. Seek ye first his kingdom fair. He will provide all other care. For a life that is blessed instead of cursed, prioritize the Lord, keep first things first. Amen. There's more truth than poetry in that, as the saying goes. When we keep God first in our lives, we will find that all other concerns of life fall right into place. Now, I thought of this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Drake, could you read that really loud, please?
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Okay. Now, we know in this scripture that the Apostle Paul was talking about how things are to be handled in the church and in the services and such. But there's a principle here that I want to discuss for a moment, that God wants all things kept in order. He's a God of order. From the operation of the universe to the operation of the church, God is very detail-oriented and he wants everything kept in order. Time and time again throughout his word, this principle is supported. God is a God of order. I just compiled a few examples here that came to mind. I was thinking of just the structure of the Bible, if you will, just the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament came before the New Testament, and there was a very good reason for that. The Bible lets us know that the law was a schoolmaster. Right. It wouldn't have made sense for the New Testament to come first. The Old Testament had to be there to bring us unto Christ, teach us. There's so many spiritual types in the Old Testament that correspond with the New. Right. And for those of us in this congregation that just went through the Revelation series with Brother and Sister Sterlucky, we learned about the church being founded on the, or standing on the moon and clothed in the sun.
Right.
She was standing on the Old Testament and clothed in the New Testament. So God had an order there with just as maybe a broader scope as that, just the New Testament and the Old Testament. But there's ones that get all tangled up when it comes to the scheme of God's relationship with mankind. There are those who fail to see the full significance of the New Testament. There are those who hold to religious practices of the law. They don't have the proper perspective of God's divine order. And when you do this, things get out of whack. Those that have an incorrect perspective of the Old Testament diminish the role of Christ in this gospel day by saying that men in the Old Testament experienced salvation just like us, and that's not true. This all creates confusion. God has an order, a pattern, a significance in the scheme of the scriptures. But when man gets involved and fails to properly align with God's order, confusion is caused. So that's just kind of like a really broad thing that came to mind. God has structure and order within the home. He established way back in the beginning that marriage is to be between a male and a female. The Bible establishes the order by which a home is to operate. And I know none of you are in here are married right now, but I trust that someday you will be, and maybe some of you will be soon. So as you're preparing for that time in your life, think about this. Do you want to marry somebody who doesn't hold the same values that you do when it comes to the home or family? Is when people deviate from the plan of God, issues arise.
Right.
And I hope none of you are playing with the idea of homosexuality. If you go down that road, there will be problems because it's not the divine pattern order of God. So, boys, do you want to marry a lady who doesn't hold Church of God values?
No.
We have scriptures up here that say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. What if you marry somebody that doesn't see things the way that you do and really make your life pretty miserable?
Right.
Or girls, what if you marry a man who doesn't hold Church of God values and the Bible tells you to submit to them? It's going to get pretty hard when they start doing things that maybe you don't agree with.
True.
So we got to keep this in mind. God is a God of order. But however, in that scripture, there's something that probably all of you in here can associate with children obey your parents in all things. That's part of God's order too. So if you're living in your parents' home, you have an obligation to be respectful, to be submissive to their order, to their orders. Are you lining up with that? I hope none of you are giving your parents any trouble. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about how God has established order throughout his creation. And when things operate in that order, business runs smooth. But when man gets involved and they think they have a better way, that's when problems arise.
Right.
One more, God has structure of the church. Look at the words in this verse up here. Well, we'll read the first one first. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And then the second verse there says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You see the words that are used there in this verse? First, secondarily, thirdly, God has an order. And we've all heard that phrase, so-and-so got out of order. What does that mean when somebody says that? They thought, whoever they were talking about, they thought that they knew that, they thought they knew better where they ought to be in the body of Christ. God maybe placed them fifth, so to speak, and they thought they were to be first. The pastor is supposed to be in charge, but they thought they should be in charge. Thought about Diotrephes. If you read 3 John, there John talks about Diotrephes, and he said that he loved to have the preeminence. In other words, he loved to be first. He got so full of himself, he was casting people out of the church, and he even resisted the Apostle John. So he really got out of order. We have a pastor. It's our responsibility to submit to him. You all in here have youth leaders. It's your responsibility to submit to them. And when we operate in this order, things run much smoother because that's the way God has intended them to operate. So again, God wants everything kept in order. And this includes our priorities. He wants them kept in order as well. First things first, right? Keep the most important things your main concern. So when you're filling out your list of priorities, this is how it should look. Number one, God, right?
Right.
Everything associated with that, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, witnessing. God should be number one in our lives, our first priority in life. Let's remember back to the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments. The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God has so ordained the structure of our lives that he be number one. And then after that, we've all seen the bumper stickers, the hats, the shirts, whatever. Faith, family, friends, freedom, guns, coffee, however you want it. That's fine. Just make sure God's first. Number two, everything else. Everybody got that? So, just how serious is it that we seek God first? How many of you here remember the story of Uzzah? Maybe if I'm pronouncing that right. Does anybody remember that story?
Right.
You'll remember it when we talk about it. But, so, when God originally gave the commandments concerning how to move the Ark of the Covenant, how were they to move it? Does anybody remember? They were supposed to carry it on the priests were supposed to carry it on their shoulders using poles, right? Well, the Israelites one day decided that they had a better way. They were going to transport the ark pulled by some oxen. And Uzzah was one of the men who were driving the cart. Well, as the cart was moving along, the oxen stumbled and the cart shook. It was about to fall over. So Uzzah reached out his hand and touched the ark. And immediately he fell dead because nobody was supposed to touch the ark. So we come over a couple chapters after this story. And here, that is not the right reference there. I'm sorry. I believe it's 1st or 2nd Chronicles, maybe. I didn't change the scripture there. But you come up over a couple chapters after this story, and it's David speaking here, and he's basically telling the Levites, listen, I think last time we really messed up, God made us pay for it.
Right.
He took Uzzah's life. So this time we're going to move the ark like he commanded us. He used this phrase, we sought him not after the due order. One translation puts it this way, we did not seek him in the way he ordained. People tend to get lackadaisical. They think they can approach God any old way, but he won't have it. This will result in death, just like Uzzah, except it's spiritual death for us today. We must seek God in the way he ordained. We must seek his kingdom first. First things first.
Great.
I like what Brother Borders said the other night in his message. A lot of people say, God is a big part of my life. Well, if that is the case, you've got it all wrong. God is our life. I really like this scripture. Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Our life must be fully centered around Christ. Every move, every decision we make must be made while considering, how will this affect my relationship with God? How will this affect my congregation? What image will this reflect of Christ and his church? What will this do to my pastor or my brothers and sisters? There are many interests, gadgets, devices, and other things today that can steal our time and attention. Someone might say, I have this activity or that activity that keeps me out of church and other church functions. Well, didn't you know this was the case when you signed up for that activity? Why put yourself in that position? Now, certainly there are times when you have to miss church for various reasons, but if you know the local book club meets every Sunday morning, you probably shouldn't sign up to be a part of the local book club. Amen. We must be careful to keep our focus on Christ and keep him in the proper place in our life. Is there something that's taking your attention away from God? 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Apparently I didn't change any of the scripture references on these. That's 2 Timothy 2 and 4. Sometimes we need to break free from entanglements. Those things that drag us down, that hold us back from being what God wants us to be. The International Children's Bible says, a soldier wants to please his commanding officer, so he does not waste his time doing the things that most people do. This lesson has been a good reminder for me as well. As I enter this new year, I want to go into it with a greater determination to keep first things first. I want this to be my theme for 2024. I had a super, super busy past year. I was remodeling my kitchen. I got put on overtime at work. I started studying for my professional engineering exam. We had a trip to Oregon. It was just crazy. And at the same time, God was throwing more responsibilities as far as church goes in my lap. And I was determined through it all to make sure that I kept God first.
Right.
And I did more visitation this year than I probably have done in the past. And going to the next year, I want to make sure that I keep God more first in my life, even more than that. That's my determination going into this year. And I hope it'll be your determination as well. I want to give more of my time, energy, and efforts to the work of God. In Luke 10, there's a familiar account recorded of Mary and Martha. I'm sure you all know the story. Jesus came to visit Martha's house. And, of course, when you have company, you want to entertain your guests. You want to make sure you feed them well. You make sure you give them a drink. Then, of course, you have to do the dishes and keep the kitchen tidy. Oh, are you cold? Well, hold on a second. Let me go out to the woods, chop down a tree, throw another log on the fire. You know how it goes. So you want to make your guests feel comfortable. While all the while, you are so busy you don't even enjoy your company. Well, this is the situation that Martha found herself in. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving. Another rendering says she was very busy and distracted with all her serving responsibilities. As she was cumbered about, Jesus was teaching and exhorting the others in the house. Sitting right there in Jesus' presence, giving full attention to every word that came out of his mouth, was Mary, Martha's sister. And boy, did this irk Martha. She's over there at the sink, washing dishes, probably muttering under her breath, oh, that's a term on. So, you know how it is when your siblings get on your nerves. She's had enough, and she decides she's going to confront Jesus about this. You know what? I'm going to go right up there in front of everybody, embarrass my sister, and that's really going to teach her a lesson. So she walks up to Jesus. Yeah, hello, Jesus. Yeah. You know me, I'm Martha. I've been serving, you know, doing all this for you. But, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but there's that girl right over there. Her name's Mary. She's my sister. And I don't know if you noticed, but, like, she hasn't done anything. She's just been sitting there. Don't you think she should be helping, too? But Jesus, in his loving way, he says, Martha, Martha, you are concerned and troubled about way too much. Prior, can you read that verse for me?
Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Martha no doubt wanted to embarrass her sister right there in front of Jesus and all the others who were there listening, but I bet she came away ashamed after that response from Jesus. Mary was taking time for that part that was really important. The dishes would be there later. The floor could be swept later. The guest didn't need a second plate or a third cup of Mountain Dew. And maybe today God is trying to tell us, Brother Steve, Sister Sherry, Sister Vicky, whoever it is, insert your name there. You are involved in too much. You are consumed with things that don't really matter. You're wasting your time when you could be spending time with me. One thing is needful. What's that one thing? It's your relationship with God. Keeping your experience up to date. Furthering God's kingdom. One thing is needful. You see, there was nothing inherently wrong with what Martha was doing. She wasn't out back drinking or smoking pot or doing anything like that. She was just too consumed with care to realize that Jesus himself was sitting there in her house. She had a prime opportunity to sit at his feet and learn from him, but she was busy. She was too busy. A lot of the things we're involved with are not wrong, but they can become wrong if it interferes in our relationship with God. So let's keep first things first.
Right.
So how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep first things first? Well, I have here just two simple steps. They're simple to understand and remember, but maybe they're a little bit harder to put into practice. So first, we must get the proper perspective. Second, we got to prioritize God. What do I mean by saying we must have the proper perspective? Well, the phrase first things first proposes that there are some first things, right? There are some things that are supreme, chief, primary things. We must make sure that what we treat as first things are truly first things. The Bible says in Colossians 3, 1 through 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So how is your perspective? How is your affection? Do your affections lie too much in that which is earthly and temporal? It may be time to adjust your perspective. We must recognize and believe, truly believe, that the work of God is the most important thing on the earth. Because if we don't get this step right, we'll never be able to take care of step two, which is prioritize God. If you view something as more important than God, you always take care or partake in that thing before you do the things of God. When given the opportunity between the two, you will choose the other thing instead of him. Giving God priority in our lives does not necessarily mean the first thing you do when you roll out of bed in the morning is study your Bible and pray, although that is a good practice to incorporate into your life. It does mean making sure you find time to commune with God every day.
Right.
It doesn't mean you quit your job and do nothing but study, visit the sick, and work at the church grounds, but it does mean making yourself available for the Lord's service whenever you can be. We could go into detail and list out a whole bunch of things or a whole bunch of ways that we can get off track, but I believe God is faithful, and if there are things that are beginning to take priority in your life, you know it, and he'll point it out to you.
Right.
As we talked about, God is a God of order, and he wants no other place but first place in our hearts and lives. So how about you this evening? How is your perspective? Are your priorities in check? Is Christ the center of your affections? Is the kingdom of God your main concern? If anything is awry in your life, I invite you to get it taken care of. If you are not saved, you need to do some first things first. The first and far most important thing in life is that you get saved. The Bible speaks about the foundation of repentance. Repentance is a foundational work. It's a fundamental action. So how about placing first things first? So I hope this is a challenge to you as you go into each and every day to make sure that God is first and foremost in your life. Can we say that one more time? First things first?
First things first.
All right, that's all I had tonight.
Yeah.